This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Tes Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah continues to discuss cases of Tzamid Pasil, that is, we have a Kli Cheres of some sort, for example, an earthenware tanner oven, and it is covered and sealed shut. And so starting out, it qualifies as Tzamid Pasil. It is a sealed earthenware utensil, where the Torah says the halacha is that it and its contents are shielded from tumah. So that if, for example, there's a mace in the same room, the Kli Cheres and its contents do not become tameh. However, if a hole develops in either the clay that seals the cover to the utensil or in the cover itself, at a certain point, clearly, we can no longer regard this as a sealed utensil, and so it would be vulnerable to tumah again. We started to discuss the specific cases and the question of, depending on where the hole is, how large it would have to be to say that it's no longer halachically sealed and therefore vulnerable to tumah. So our Mishnah now discusses Taner Shenikav Me'eno, a sealed earthenware oven which has a vent hole called an ayin, and the vent hole was plugged up with clay, but then a hole developed in that seal. So at what point, how large does the hole have to be for us to say that it's not properly sealed up anymore and therefore is vulnerable to tumah? The first opinion says shiuro melo kush nichnas v'yotze dolek. We reach that point once the hole is large enough to allow a spindle to go in and out of it while on fire. So that additional detail that it could go in and out while on fire essentially is saying that it has to be somewhat larger than, or just large enough to let the spindle go in and out. At that point, we would say that okay, it's no longer properly sealed. And so it could become tummy again. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shalo Dolek. Yehuda says, no, even if the hole is not quite that large, but only large enough to allow a spindle that's not on fire to go in and out. At that point already, we'd say the seal is invalid, and so it would be vulnerable to tumah. The Mishnah says, regarding Nikav Mitzido, let's say the plugged up vent hole developed a hole at its side, like where the clay meets the actual vent hole, the thickness of the walls of the tanur. So the hole pointed is off to the side. So here the opinions flip around. First opinion says, Shiro kemelo kush nichles v'yotze shelo dolek. Here the standard is that it's disqualified, it's an invalid seal once the hole is large enough to allow a spindle that's not on fire to go in and out. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer dolek. Rita says, no, the opposite. The hole is off to the side, that's where it has to be a slightly larger hole for the seal to be invalidated, namely to allow a spindle to go in and out while on fire. The Mishnah presents a third opinion, which is more strict than the opinions presented so far, and that is Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon said, and I agree with the Tanakama, the hole in the middle of the seal has to be larger than a hole in the side, but Rabbi Shimon teaches more strict standards. He says, Mina emza nichnas. If the hole in the plugged vent hole developed in the middle of it, then the hole must be large enough for the spindle to enter, even if you can't take it out. At that point already, the seal will be considered disqualified. If the hole is off to the side, then even if you can't actually insert the spindle whatsoever, but as long as the hole there is equal or greater to the diameter of a spindle, it would at that point be disqualified. If the diameter is exactly equal to the diameter of a spindle, you can't actually insert it. It has to be a little bit larger. Rabbi Shimon says that's already large enough to disqualify the seal and to say that now the oven could become tameh. But the Rav says we don't rule like Rabbi Shimon, we rule like the Tanakama. The Mishnah notes, V'chein haya omer v'megufa sechavis shenikva. Rabbi Shimon applied a similar viewpoint to a case of a hole that developed in the clay stopper of a sealed earthenware barrel. As Rabbi Shimon said, Shiro melo mitza shenia shel shifon. The basic standard, how large the hole has to be to disqualify the seal is, the hole must be equal to the diameter of a stalk of rye, and specifically the diameter at the second ring along the rye stalk. If you look at a stalk of rye, it grows in segments, and each segment is divided by these ring-like nodes. The segments get more narrow as you go up the stalk. So Rabbi Shimon says that once the hole is the same diameter as the width of the rye stalk at the point of the second ring, as a typical rye stalk, the seal is then considered disqualified. That's the basic standard when it comes to a hole in the clay stopper, wherever the hole is. But we do make the following distinction that imina emsa nichnas. If the hole is in the middle of the stopper, then it has to be a little larger. That is, it can't be exactly equal to the aforementioned diameter, the width at the second ring there, the rye stalk. It has to be a bit larger than that so you could actually insert the rye stalk in the hole. Whereas minatzad inu nichnas. If the hole developed at the side of the stopper, then as long as it's still equal to the width of the rye stalk at the second ring, even if you can't actually insert the rye stalk, then at that point already we would say the seal is disqualified. The mission notes further, v'chein haya omer v'chatzavim gedolim shenikvu. Rishimon applied a similar opinion in the case of a hole that developed in the clay stoppers of larger earthenware casks. That is, he says, shiura melo mitza shnia shalkana. So we follow a more lenient standard here, that is, it has to be a larger hole. The kli as a whole is larger, so the hole naturally has to be larger to say the seal is disqualified. Specifically, in the case of the larger casks, the halacha is once the hole has a diameter equal to the width of a reed at the second ring level, so that's a bit larger than the second ring of a rye stalk, at that point we would say the clay stopper, the seal is disqualified. But once again, we distinguish between a hole in the middle of the stopper versus if the hole is at the side. In that, mina emsa nichnas, the hole has to be larger if it's in the middle. It is large enough to actually insert the reed, whereas mina tzad eino nichnas, if the hole is at the side, then even if you can't actually insert the reed, but if the diameter is equal to that aforementioned width, equal to the width at the second level of the reed, the seal would be disqualified. But the mission now makes an important qualification regarding these various minimums of how large the hole has to be for the seal to be considered disqualified. The Mishnah says, "B'med v'mamurim." When do we follow the standards described above? Is mentioned nasu liyayin. So if we're talking about a barrel or a cask that's made to hold wine, where the point is, the owner typically doesn't want a hole of any size in the container. Hole in a container for wine is not good for the wine. And so it's safe to assume that whatever hole is there, he doesn't want it there. Therefore, the hole is not considered halachically significant until it meets a certain minimum size. But if the barrel of the cask was made to hold other liquids, say oil or honey, where actually having a hole in the container is beneficial to the liquid. Halacha there is a filu koshu tmeim. Even the slightest hole in the stopper would be of halachic significance, and as a result, would lead us to consider the stopper as disqualified. There's a significant hole in it, therefore you can't say this is a sealed-up container, and therefore it would no longer be protected from tumah. And a further qualification, the Mishnah says, even if we are talking about a container for wine, when do the above minimum standards apply? Bizman shalon asu bi adam. Only if the person didn't purposely create the hole. Avlim nasu bi adam, but if the owner purposely made a hole in the seal, afilu koshu tmeim, that even the slightest hole would be of halachic significance, and therefore we'd say, okay, it's no longer a completely sealed container. As a result, it would be vulnerable to tumah. Now, up until this point, the discussion has been about a hole that's developed in the seal or the cover. The question is, at what point, how large of a hole causes us to say this container is no longer sealed? The Mishnah now discusses, let's say nikvu, a hole develops in the earthenware vessel itself. And so now the issue is, so we know, from what we learned in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, at a certain point, if a hole develops in a container, the halacha no longer views that container as a halachic kli. It doesn't properly function anymore as a kli, it doesn't properly contain things. So once it's not a halachic container, it's not a kli, and therefore would not be makabel tumah. If a particular, even an earthenware container, doesn't have the halachic status of a kli, then it cannot protect its contents from tumah. And so the Mishnah says, if all developed in the earthenware container itself, If this container was meant to contain food, shiurun bezesim. Then, as we learned in Perek Gimel, the standard would be that if the hole is large enough that olives fall out, then it's no longer considered a proper food container. It's not a kli. So if it's not a kli again, it will not protect its contents from tumah. And also lemashkim, if this container was meant to hold liquids, shiurun b'mashkim, then we follow the appropriate standard for that. That is, that if the hole is large enough to allow liquid to come in, then we say this can no longer properly contain liquid. No one's going to bother with it. They're not going to keep it for that purpose. And therefore, it no longer has the status of a kli. As a result, it will not shield its contents from tumah. Although the Gemara in Shabbos indicates that up to a certain point, you would be able to restore the container status of a kli if you patched it up, you know, sealed up the hole. Well, then you would be back to, okay, it's a regular earthenware container, so that, you know, if the top is covered, it's some impossible wood shield, contents from tumah again. The Mishnah concludes, so what about earthenware container that's also lekach lekach? It's meant to hold both foods and liquids. So here, you know, technically we should say, since it's also meant to hold foods, until the hole is large enough that the foods, the olives, fall out, it should continue to protect the contents from tumah. Yet the Mishnah says, no, the Rabbanim were stringent. The Rabbanim said, matil masul l'chumro, we're stringent here to say, but some impossible l'bekones mashka. Even if this container were sealed going all the way around, but if the hole in the container was large enough to allow liquids to come in, which is the sign that it really cannot hold liquids anymore, meaning liquids will come out at a rate that it's not worth it to try and keep the kli for that purpose. Once we're at that point that you can no longer use the container to hold liquids, we're stringent and we say it no longer has the full kli status needed to qualify for the law of tumah pasul. And so even though it's perfectly sealed up, the contents inside would be vulnerable to tumah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.